I'm Marga Friednauer in the KHNS Newsroom. We air news from the Upper Lynn Canal and Southeast region every weekday from Monday evening through Friday morning. On Monday mornings, we feature NPR Business News, and on Friday evenings, we bring you the Alaska Fisheries Report. We have a wrap-up of that week's local news on Saturday's Lynn Canal Weekend, and you can listen to your news on your time and anytime by going to khns.org. Thanks for listening. A local hunting guide is sentenced in federal court, and the Haynesboro election is certified. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A multi-year international investigation into illegal bear and goat hunts has resulted in the sentencing of a longtime local big game guide. 72-year-old Ronald Martin pled guilty and was sentenced Tuesday in U.S. District Court after admitting to multiple illegal hunts, falsifying documents, and importing illegally taken wildlife between Canada and the U.S. According to U.S. Attorney Jack Schmidt, the joint U.S. and Canada investigation was dubbed Operation Bruin. Law enforcement documented 10 illegal brown bear hunts, 3 illegal black bear hunts, and 4 illegal mountain goat hunts. The violations involved Martin allowing his Canadian and U.S. clients to take brown bears after illegally baiting them, hunting without proper licenses, and failure to be present with the clients during some of the hunts. Schmidt said it was also discovered Martin and his clients would then falsify records to smuggle wildlife hides, furs, horns, and meat into Canada. The violations spanned 9 years, from 2002 through 2011. Transporting illegally taken game across state and international borders triggers a violation of federal law known as the Lacey Act. That's when the U.S. Attorney's Office got involved, Schmidt said.
The Lacey Act is to prevent the commercialization of wildlife trafficking. And Lacey violations can occur in several different ways. In this particular case, there was underlying state law violations. And when those state law violations include the trafficking of those illegally harvested wildlife, then it becomes within the purview of the federal government.
The investigation resulted in 17 Canadians being charged with 55 violations. Some of them have also been charged in the U.S., Schmidt said.
Very long investigation was over several years and dealing with multiple agencies and international law enforcement agencies, so it did take quite a long time to get all the evidence in this particular case.
Martin has been a big game guide for more than 30 years in Haynes. He was sentenced to 4 years probation and fined $40,000. During his probation, he can't hunt in the U.S. or anywhere else in the world for 2 years or provide any guiding-related services. Martin was also sentenced in state court earlier this year. As part of that conviction, he forfeited his Piper airplane, a pickup, an ATV, and several weapons. His hunting license is revoked until 2016, and he surrendered his guide license for life. Another Haynes guide is also facing charges in the investigation. Martin's stepbrother, John Katzik, and 3 of his Canadian clients have been indicted in U.S. District Court, also charged with conspiracy and smuggling violations related to illegal hunts. Katzik is also a board member of the Upper Lynn Canal Fish and Game Advisory Board. The October 1st Haynesboro election results were certified Tuesday night after an investigation report from the borough attorney said, although there was confusion and mistakes on election day, nothing was done to favor one candidate over another, and the results should stand. The election was contested by school board candidate Artie Miller after many voters' ballots were rejected by the voting machine on election day. Poll workers told voters their ballots were rejected for being undervoted or not voting for as many candidates as there were open seats. Workers then gave voters the option of overriding the voting machine to accept their ballot or return to the voting booth to vote for more candidates. Miller's contest alleged this equated to the borough affecting the outcome of the election. The contest automatically triggered an investigation. Interim borough manager Julie Causey, acting clerk Michelle Webb, and attorney Brooks Chandler were the investigating team, as outlined in borough code. They held 2 public meetings to question election workers and the company that programs voting machines. Causey and Webb also answered questions from the attorney. Chandler was on hand Tuesday at the assembly meeting to present his 24-page report. He said the investigation found no misconduct, fraud, or corruption on the part of any election official, and that the rejection of undervoted ballots and the choice given to voters to go back to the voting booth did not favor any candidate over any other.
There is a difference between an election that is imperfect or messed up in some degree and an election that is so imperfect that the tally of the votes is not considered a reliable expression of the will of the people of this community. And the sort of conclusion that our investigation has come up with is that this is really more of a situation in which the election could have been conducted better than a situation where the will of the people is expressed in the votes as currently tabulated is somehow incorrect and not truly their will and not the product of a free and fair democratic process.
Miller, who was out of town, said Wednesday she hadn't yet received the result of the investigation or read the report. She wasn't likely to appeal the decision, she said, but she was glad the election went through the process of the investigation.
Hope that this investigation will at least ensure that this type of problem doesn't occur in future elections. Disappointed that it was certified, because I do believe it affected the outcome, and there's no way to know really how it affected the outcome. But I'm glad they went through the process.
The investigative team's report did recommend the borough change how the voting machines are programmed from now on so that undervoted ballots are not rejected. It was also recommended that the ballot instructions are changed from saying vote for only a specific number of candidates to vote for no more than a specific number of candidates. Kazi, who was clerk at the time of the election, said during the investigation that the setting on the voting machine had not been changed since she became clerk in 2003. Each election, she asked the company that provides the programming for the machines, Dominion, to keep the same settings as before. That includes a setting to reject undervoted ballots. However, because of how previous ballots were designed, there were rarely any undervoted ballots. Before, if a voter decided not to vote in a particular race, the machine read it as a blank race, and the ballots were not rejected in that case. With the change in the ballot for this election to a roster-style ballot, the machine detected and rejected undervoted ballots. According to the investigation report, a representative with Dominion said 98% of jurisdictions the company works with do not set their machines to reject undervoted ballots. Chandler also estimated the number of ballots undervoted, saying about 16% of voters undervoted in the assembly race and about 27% voters undervoted in the school board race. The percentage was much higher among absentee ballots because they were not given a choice to complete their ballot. But Chandler said while the investigators were left with the feeling that it is possible the outcome for some of the races could have been different, it's not likely. The investigation also determined that the presence of a newspaper at one of the polling places was a mistake, but did not affect the outcome of the election and was not intentional electioneering on the part of any one candidate. Chandler also outlined borough code, state statute, and other election challenges in state court that he says have determined a high degree of error is required to be proven for an election to be thrown out. The case law was a big part of Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel's decision to uphold the election, she said.
One of the things that's influential or impactful for me is the legal history that the report provides. And I can appreciate that information because I had never really been educated, to what other challenges of elections have occurred in the state and how courts have historically handled those. So that's important.
Other assembly members also agreed that any mistakes were unintentional and not to the degree that it would have affected the outcome. Joanne Waterman and Steve Vick both said the election was a learning process for the new type of ballot.
I think we did make mistakes, and I think it's part of the learning process. I think we passed a law, implemented a law way too soon, and I think we should have waited a year to have this be the way it is. I think we passed a law weeks before an election happened. I think that led to confusion and cut down our prep time in how to, the wording on the ballots, to programming the machines, to educating the public.
In fact, it's unlikely the changes to the roster-style ballot and how the percentage of votes were calculated would have taken effect this election if it wasn't for a change to the Voting Rights Act earlier this year. The Assembly earlier this year discussed that if it was to make these changes, they would have to be approved by the Department of Justice as part of the Voting Rights Act. That process can take several months. But in June, the United States Supreme Court struck down a key formula of the act, requiring some states, including Alaska, to get federal approval before changing any voting laws. When that happened, the Assembly was free to make changes in the election procedures right up to the election. The type of ballot was changed by the Assembly on June 25th, and the formula for calculating the percentage of votes cast was changed on September 10th, less than a month before the election. The Assembly on Tuesday voted unanimously to accept the investigation report and then voted unanimously to certify the election results. Assemblyman Norm Smith was absent from the meeting. Tuesday was Steve Vick's and Norm Smith's last meeting. Now Assembly members Diana Lapham and George Campbell can take office on Monday. You can find the entire election investigation report on the Haynesboro website. We'll have more on other Assembly actions from Tuesday's meeting on our Thursday evening newscast. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.